783, authorize a loan of up to $6,339,093 of River District Tax Increment Funding to be used with funding from other sources to develop 52 affordable units and 10 market rate units in the Erickson Fritz Apartments.
Mr. Saltzman.
Well, Mayor, I think you've introduced this topic well, so I will now turn it over to Housing Bureau Director Tracy Manning and Innovative Housing's Director Sarah Stevenson. And I apologize, I don't know who our third person is, but keep it brief, okay? Very brief overview of this great affordable housing project.
Yes, this is a great affordable housing project, importantly with a great partner. It was selected through a competitive process, as you heard during the last item. Will include units starting those affordable to people at 0 to 30% of median income, and then all the way up to including 10 market rate units. It will leverage private investment from Raymond James, Wells Fargo, and our private but nonprofit affordable housing developers deferring some of their developer fee to make it work. They will utilize an historic tax credit and underutilized buildings in the neighborhood. They will nearly double their MWESB efforts, our target goals. They're going to be Earth Advantage Gold and utilize the Energy Trust. And they're building in a neighborhood that, as we've just heard, has a lot of great opportunities for anyone to live there. It is an amazing neighborhood that I very much appreciate. And given all of the conversation that we recently had, and despite all of this, and, you know, Innovative Housing truly being one of our best developers in town, I'm very familiar with Old Town myself and the fact that the neighborhood has felt very strongly that the amount of affordable housing and social services in the neighborhood has perhaps reached a limit, and they wanted to try some other things. So when the project came in, I called the folks I know in Old Town and said, okay, they look like they have your support. You have told me time and again you want to diversify. Are you okay with this proposal? And they aren't here to relay to you, but I have permission to relay to you that the folks in Old Town Chinatown have such faith and great experiences with Innovative Housing, and this fits very well into their goals, both of helping people off the street and having a vibrant neighborhood with for everybody who lives there. So with that, and keeping it short, I just want to quickly acknowledge my team who worked on this, Javier Mena, John Marshall, who's in the audience, Michael Prothy, Mary Welch, and Kathy Romero, all at Portland Housing Bureau, and now the Director of Innovative Housing, Sarah Stevenson.
Well, and I have with me our Director of Development, Julie Garver, just in case you ask me any very difficult technical questions. Since I sent you the pro forma last week, I didn't know what you might come back with. I don't have a lot to add. I think everything that has been said is accurate. You know, we are excited about this because our mission is to develop affordable housing. We are a committed member of the Old Town community. So when we heard from them that they wanted a greater income mix in residential development, we heard that. We developed the Modern Rich in 2012, which is workforce. It's unrestricted workforce housing. When the Bill Nadeau company saw what we did at the Rich building, they approached us and said, can you do that at the Erickson Fritz buildings? We looked at it. It actually, yes, it's doable. And what does the neighborhood want? You know, they want some housing at 30%, housing for people who are working and want to live where they work, and market rate units. So we put it all in there. So we think this project, it's trying to meet a lot of different needs, and we think that we've done it. And we also think it's really important to revitalize what we see as a gateway parcel into Old Town. As people are crossing Burnside, we will be fronting on both 2nd and 3rd, and those are main corridors into the community. And right now, those are vacant buildings. So, you know, revitalizing those and really bringing those historic properties back to life, we see a lot of value in that.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Go ahead. Julie, anything to add?
Very briefly, I just wanted to say that when we were doing the appraisal work for the Erickson Fritz, the market rate units were a bit of a challenge because, as has been pointed out, there isn't a lot of comparable properties right within the neighborhood for market rate units. And so so there was a stretch on figuring out how to make those work with the appraisal. So it will be nice when the next market rate project with market rate units comes into Old Town, they'll have our project to use as a comparable.
Great. Thank you. Other questions?
So I just want to state for the record that there's no connection between me and this project, despite the name.
It's honorary. It's honorary.
Well, I'm actually going to assign my staff to look into it. They have, however, dug out of the report that this used to be a saloon employing 50 bartenders and one of the longest bars in the country at 684 feet. It is quite impressive.
Erickson Saloon. Feet.
Commissioner Fritz, Dan wasn't going to take any chances. He wanted 5 votes, and this is, after all, an emergency, so he'll go to any length. A couple questions. Tracy, if you back out the community space and any of the non-residential space, you have a sense of roughly the per unit cost of the rehab?
I don't have it on me, but I see people with lots of paper in front of them.
Just ballpark.
I have a per unit cost, but it includes the community space and all the market rate units.
What do you have then?
It's about $265,000 per unit all in. What we've requested from the city is a subsidy of about $121,000 per affordable unit, because we're not asking the city to fund the market rate units.
$120,000 per affordable.
Right.
So that's
That's what the request breaks down to if you divide it by 52.
And you anticipated, I guess, where I was going, which is you're reminding us that even with a seismic upgrade, the preservation and rehab of an existing building can be a better deal for the city than new construction. So this is at the lower end of what we would normally spend per door.
We think it's a good investment. I mean, the overall cost of the project, I think at $265,000 per unit, you know, that's a high price, but given the seismic, given the historic, it leverages historic tax credits to offset some of those costs, as you mentioned.
Tracy, I was struck by the mix of units. So when we think about the 10-year plan, the focus is on 0 to 30. We've got two units here. Population that generally is service, needs services in order to be successful. So that's one part of the community you're building. 50 and 60% MFI, which is 50 of the units, so the big chunk. A someone at 50 or 60% of MFI, according to your chart, at 60, they're going to pay just under $700 a month for a unit. That person might work where in the neighborhood?
Someone at 60% would earn about $30,000 a year pre-tax.
So if we hope that they have a job in the neighborhood, they're working.
They could be entry-level at one of the startup companies. They could be at Northwest Education Association. They could be
part-time. They could work for Central City Concern.
Could be a student with parents who are willing to co-sign on something.
Well, not a full-time student.
No,
but
no. And then
or any of the entry-level service positions. I mean, as you heard last week, there are about 1,000 people working in the district within just the hospitality industry, so the restaurants and bars and clubs. People who work full-time in those industries probably make maybe 50 to 60% of income, area median.
Yeah.
So the overwhelming majority of the units that we'll be funding in this beautiful building, which I drive by every morning, is we hope we'll support people that can also walk to work.
That's our goal. I mean, I get more calls about the Modern Rich is a half a block away. It's 34 studio apartments. We put that online in 2012. I get more calls from people asking about available units at that building than any of our other properties. So, when people question us, are you sure you're the appraiser? Are you sure you'll be able to rent these units? No, I know we'll be able to rent these units because I know people want to live in this neighborhood. People who go to school here part-time, people who work here, people who just want to be close to downtown and can't afford anything else in downtown, this is the neighborhood that they can be in, and we want to provide the opportunity.
Yeah, and Tracy, just one last question, and I'm going to enthusiastically support this. We have a big need at the very low end. That's where people are struggling. But your focus is 0 to 60, and that's the range that you're Bureau is concerned of. Why do you believe this investment and this many units at the higher end is a good deal for the city?
Well, I think it's absolutely meeting a need in the city, even up to 60%. And as you alluded to, you know, we get, with sort of standard financing that we have available to us, this is a very similar profile to what we tend to get. Innovative Housing, in their last project, the Magnolia, did something very similar where they set aside a certain percentage of units. They work with Northwest Pilot Project, they work with JOIN at 0 to 30, and then subsidize those units with their higher rent units in the building, but without an additional rent subsidy, Section 8, that kind of thing. What we find is our partners aren't able to support additional 0 to 30 units. So in terms of the standard, the buildings that we want to finance with our resources when we're not including rent subsidy, this is exactly what we want to see.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for the team? Thank you all very much. Is there anyone signed up to speak on this item?
We have Lightning.
Okay, Lightning, come on up.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Think Lab. First of all, I want to say I do commend the efforts on being quite creative on this deal. It's very impressive from start to finish. One of the things I think about is, are subsidies necessary to do a project like this? Well, you're going to say absolutely yes, and that's what's being done right now, so I'm not going to go against that. The $6,339,093 from the Portland Housing Bureau, which is considered a cash flow share loan, meaning that this will be paid off by the cash flow at 50% of the cash flow produced. In my opinion, you'll be lucky to see a dollar of cash flow for the next 15 to 30 years. Now, you may dispute me on that, but you also have performers that might even almost agree with me on that. Now, with that in mind, my only concern is to make sure this, what I consider a loan and not a grant, is paid back in the future. I don't want in the future somebody coming up and saying, hey, we can't make any cash flow. If we're going to keep our affordable units affordable, guess what? We need your assistance again. Can you just write that loan off? Now, I notice, if I'm incorrect on this, that you don't have that loan placed against the property. Now, you can correct me on that, but it's placed against your limited liability partnership. Now, I don't know if that is just to keep the debt off the property, and I might be incorrect on that. Now, my only position is, if this building is refinanced, I'd like to see that loan paid off. If the building is sold, I'd like to see that loan paid off. I want to do on sale. My main focus is to make sure that if we're going to use public subsidies to build these projects, that they get paid back, if it's necessary in the current agreement, which, as you know, this loan, this shared loan, is 0%, paid off the cash flow. And we all know that by the end of the day, to show a cash flow on a new building at low rents might be difficult, because it's always easy to push certain expenses up higher in other areas. So at the end of the day, you might not see cash flow. Now, my only other concern, like I say again, I commend you on your $1,875,000 development fee. That is impressive. And again, what I want to understand is on this SDC waiver, is that only for new construction or properties that are being rehabbed? Because to me, this is like a rehab, although you're taking the inside of the building and doing all new. Does that fit under the terms of the SDC waiver to receive that? So I'm kind of curious on that. Is that new construction or older buildings being rehabbed? And it's my understanding this is an older building being rehabbed. Thank you.
Good questions. Might want to get some response to some of those. Due on sale clause, is there one?
There is. Yeah.
Okay. And I think I know the answer on the SDC question, which is that if you convert a building from one use to another, you pay the SDC based on the increased use, right?
Yeah, it's based on the change of use if you're adding fixtures or
units or
people using the property,
yeah.
Right? And so waivers are for the affordable portion of the building.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, we're only getting waivers on the 52 affordable units, and they are those waivers are different in that the ones that were earlier discussed in that they require 60 years of affordability at 60% or below. So we're paying the SDCs on the 10 market rate units. And yes, this loan will be repaid if we sell it or change its use.
Yeah, all of our loans are due on sale.
And the developer fee, we're deferring $1 million.
Lightning, did I misunderstand your question? Or please, go ahead. Yeah.
You've responded to my questions in a reasonable manner. If I might add, and this is just my last concern on this, is that you have set a 260,000 unit price. Correct me if I'm wrong. That equates up to around maybe $16 million overall value on this project. Now, correct if I'm not wrong on this, but you're saying there's going to be the term used, a stabilization value of $10 million. Are you saying that after you build this building, it's only going to be worth at stabilization point of $10 million, or am I reading the information incorrect?
Good question. Yeah.
I think you're probably reading it correctly, and that gives my board of directors heartburn quite regularly that we spend more money than the property is valued at. But they have valuation methodologies, and the valuation is based on the income for the building. And because the income is restricted because the rents are restricted, the mm-hmm. property valuation is skewed. So if this were to be on the market in unrestricted rents, the appraised value may come in quite differently.
Now, he raised the prospect of due on sale. What's the scenario by which this building would be sold and taken out of this agreement? It's long-term affordability under the terms of the loan, right?
Right. So our loans require 60 years of affordability or the time of the public subsidy ceasing. That restrictive covenant that Sarah was referencing, the thing that keeps the rents low, stays on during that entire time period. Extremely rarely we've had a case where somebody has not continued to provide the affordability, in which case the public gets repaid.
We've never sold a property.
Okay, just my final response. I have a little bit of difficulty on this, on developing a building. It's $16 million. It's only going to be worth $10 million, and you're getting almost a $2 million developer's fee. So that's just a concern I have, and I will live with that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, we appreciate you raising good questions. So thanks very much, both of you. Okay, then this
I have
is
an additional question
okay,
for staff.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
And it's about the Americans with Disability Accessibility. I appreciate the upgrade to the elevator. But in looking at the exhibit, I wasn't in some mention of it under the resident services, but I'm not clear on how many of the units will have particular accessibility upgrades.
So the four of the units will be fully accessible, actually five of the units, two in the Fritz and three in the Erickson at the beginning of the project. All of the units are adaptable, and all of the units are accessible by the elevator. So any of the units could be adapted in the future for accessibility.
What's the minimum federal requirements for how many, what the percentage has to be fully accessible in the construction?
This project, it's four units that we would need to meet, and so we're doing one more, and they all could be adapted.
Yeah. A lot of our developers are going to adaptable because, of course, what happens is if you don't have five people that need fully accessible the day you lease it up, then those units are gone, and then the next person doesn't have. So they put extra. We pay to put extra blocking behind the walls and that sort of thing. So if, just because those five units are full doesn't mean someone couldn't move in and we could meet their needs.
Terrific. And in future projects, if you could pull that particular piece out, I always appreciate knowing
yes,
what
absolutely.
We're doing above and beyond, and I appreciate that we are doing more than minimal.
Yeah, no, we should. Thank you.
And Tracy, I appreciate what you said earlier in a very diplomatic way that very rarely do people breach the regulatory agreement on the 60-year a covenant. But I am also pleased that in those rare instances where that comes up, the Bureau takes a very hard line about getting the public subsidy back. And that's, I can imagine situations where that causes heartburns on the other side, particularly with nonprofits. But a deal's a deal, and we have to get that money back and reinvest it if we don't get the long-term benefit. So I appreciate your, I know you've taken some heat on that, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Any other questions? Then I believe we're ready to move to a roll call. Thank you.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, this is a great project in addition to the elevator. I'm happy to see the seismic upgrades and the mix of incomes in the project. I imagine that the 10 units at market rate are going to get snapped up like hotcakes. And so this is an example of using the traditional financing with the traditional SDC waivers for the lower income apartments that is moving forward even before the Old Town Chinatown plan is adopted. So thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
I just want to say in my many years working on housing issues, I've been at ribbon cuttings where we've honored Bud Clark, Gretchen Kifori, John Gray, and others. Now, finally, Commissioner Fritz. Soon there'll be a Novick, a Saltzman, and I'm not lobbying, but I just want to say that it is a wonderful recognition. We at this city, the reason we have strong foundations to these buildings is they reflect our shared values, and I just forgive me for being a broken record on this, but the values that underlie this project that this council has historically supported are, one, 30% of urban renewal funds to affordable housing, and that has not always been popular. Two, 60-year affordability, which presents challenges to some of even our best nonprofit partners. Three, public-private partnerships. City doesn't build housing. We work with high-capacity, mission-driven nonprofits primarily who deliver a great product. Four, we believe that housing, affordable people priced out of the market, should be in desirable parts of our city, not just places that are on the margins, and it costs more to do so. And we get criticized for doing that, but that's what opportunity really means, is putting housing where we would like to live, those of us who can afford housing, and not just marginalizing housing. And then thinking about services, housing, and building a community around people in transition. This goes back to a 2012 NOFA, a competitive process, which means this is selected based on competition with other providers, measured against rigorous standards, and this project coming to the top. Congratulations. I'm pleased to support it. Bye.
Hales.
This is a great project. It's not an inexpensive project, but it's a great project, and I appreciate the team working effectively together and putting it before us. Everything about this is good. It is more affordable housing. It is some market rate housing. It is a seismic improvement to one more of our dangerous buildings that needs to be improved. So one down, thousands to go, but two down in your case. Right. Thank you. So we appreciate innovative housing on all those levels, and I'm really looking forward to this next chapter for a great old building and bringing a little bit more life back to that part of our city. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay, we have a couple items left to do on second reading, and then we're done for this morning.
784, amend disaster policy, council membership, and leadership strategy.
Roll call.
Saltzman. Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I very much appreciate the work, particularly of Commissioner Fish and Saltzman, last week to amend this ordinance to something that I can enthusiastically support. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 785.
Declare one city-owned property at Southeast Foster Road and Southeast 91st Avenue as surplus and authorize the Director of Bureau of Transportation to transfer the property to the Portland Development Commission.
Second reading, roll call.
Saltzman. Novick.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I'm voting aye, and Mayor, on August 6th, I think, or possibly August 13th, BES will be coming forward with a surplus property ordinance. And the difference here is that prior to it going out to a competitive process, someone at the city put a marker down. What we'll be coming to is some surplus property where no interest has been expressed to the city, and we're getting authorization to go out and seek a competitive process externally. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 786.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to convey certain permanent easements at Union Pacific Railroad in exchange for a permanent easement license and agreement to install improvements on city-owned and controlled property at Northeast 2nd and Flanders Street.
Great. Roll call, please.
Salzman. Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Steve, thanks to your team at PBOT. This was really hard. The PBOT team figured out a lot of the most complicated pieces, and I hear nothing but great feedback from the BES team, and we appreciate the partnership.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Hales.
Complicated deal, good result. Aye.
Mayor, one more matter for good order. I will be gone next week. When I get back, will be in the heart of Major League Soccer All-Star Week. I hope to see my colleagues.
You still have to show up for work, you know.
Yeah. I hope
that
to see you.
For those of us who are the Parks Commissioner.
Well, Mayor, we are going to be checking on permits at a number of these events. I did attend a remarkable meeting recently with all the partners that have been working for a year to make this happen. And at that meeting, we went over the accomplishment list and the agenda for this event and other things. And what I want to share with my colleagues is that Mike Golub, Merritt Paulson, and the development team at this meeting expressed tremendous praise for the collaboration with the Parks Bureau, which went out of their way to accommodate a number of events downtown. PBOT, which worked with them to create a dedicated walkway from some events to the stadium, and that's not uncomplicated to close a street. All the other bureaus that had skin in the game, and then just generally, there was some kvetching about how some of their partners were harder to work with than others. I was swollen with pride to be in a meeting where the city of Portland was singled out as being a great partner on something that of this magnitude. So I wanted to share that good news and thank all my colleagues for their participation in making this a hugely successful All-Star event.
It's great to hear. It's nice to hear that we're able to pull that off and make this a success. So one good of the order announcement for me, I will be participating in tomorrow afternoon's hearing by telephone. But because of the awkwardness of that, I'm going to ask Commissioner Salzman as the council president to preside, and I will participate, but I don't think I can run the meeting by telephone. I will be here in voice only.
Me too.
You also?
I will be participating by voice. And Commissioner Fritz, how long do you think the hearing will last?
I'm not sure. It seems like there's a lot of people who want to come and participate, but we'll try to do some group voicing of support rather than having everybody say how much they're looking forward to referring this to the voters.
And I neglected to mention the Bureau of Development Services. A lot of the complex stuff around banners, signs, soccer balls on top of buildings got resolved because BDS gave concierge service. So thank you to that as well.
And Commissioner Fritz, I should say that we've been looking for a variety of theme songs for the concept of maintenance in PBOT for the past few months. We'd be happy to share any of those suggestions with you.
Oh, we have one already. Thank you.
Oh, the battle begins. We are recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m.